What's going on, hustlers? Welcome to the Lift, Love, Hustle podcast. My name is Sean.
And I'm Nikki Nelson.
And today we're going to be talking about how to achieve your fitness goal, whatever it may be, and stay there. How do you get to your goal and maintain that goal?
And maintenance is actually everyone's goal, right? You will work hard to achieve a goal, but really keeping the body that you want, keeping the body you're comfortable in and feeling confident all year round is something that most people attain to have.
Yeah, getting a six pack is relatively easy, but keeping a six pack is much harder.
Much harder.
So the way we do this is through something called we call the five pillars of health.
And this is something that we implement with all of our personal training clients. It's something that we really, really focus on because we know that people are coming to us not just for a number on the scale or a workout, right? They're coming to us to change their habits and create a lifestyle that they really want to enjoy.
Exactly. So this is all about lifestyle. How do you keep a healthy lifestyle for you and your family as well? So the first pillar that we're going to talk about today is fitness, because that's, you know, where we started with this.
So. Right. And fitness is, when we say fitness, we are talking about really movement. Yeah. So when I talk to my clients, I rarely use the word exercise, and I am almost always using the word movement, because we are looking with our clients not only on the sessions that they're booking per week, but also what is their lifestyle like outside of those sessions, their day-to-day, their off-day workouts, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of people ask us, well, how often should I be working out? Well, that's a great question, but it really depends. It depends on you and depends on your lifestyle and depends on what you're comfortable with. For us personally, we recommend if you are a beginner, you start off slow and work your way up. Now, that doesn't mean do once a week. It could mean doing workout, let's say 7 days a week, but it's something very, very small and easy to do. It could be walking. It could be going for a swim, but doing something active 7 days a week and then incorporating some weight training or something of that nature in the week. So that could be two to three times a week, but some form of activity 7 days a week.
Right. And I think that when people are, you know, thinking about fitness and health, they are thinking, you know, I'm going to sign up to, you know, a gym, or I'm going to lose weight. This is going to be, you know, balls to the wall, 7 days a week, hardcore training. And that rarely works. So you have to look at overall, what realistically do you need to do to attain your goal? How many pounds do you want to lose? What is your body fat percentage that's your ideal? What pant size are you, looking to get into? Whatever those things are, you have to look at a realistic timeline. And so, like Sean is saying, start small, right? If you are a beginner and you have, let's say, a 40-pound weight loss goal, you haven't really moved, exercised in a few years, to start with a, you know, 5 days a week CrossFit program or something like that does not make sense, because it's not sustainable. So when we are talking about sustainability, starting with something, create a goal. I usually tell my clients it's going to take you, depending on what their goals are, you know, about a year to 2 years to really achieve the body that they want, depending on where they're starting. So something as small as, you know, starting with a 30-minute walk and committing to that every single day for the first 2 weeks, start there. Then you can build on that. And then maybe you want to start adding, you know, strength training twice a week. And then you want to build up, you know, eventually, yeah, you can work out 7 days a week. You can work out 6 days a week, when you can move your body 7 days a week.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it comes down to. So again, if you want to live a healthy lifestyle, you have to have that component, the exercise or fitness component of health. So the second part of this pillar is nutrition. And I bet you saw that coming, right? Nutrition is obviously important. So talk a little bit more about, like, why it's important.
So nutrition is actually our second pillar, yeah, right? So yeah. Our second pillar is nutrition. And when we talk about nutrition, we're talking about creating, again, sustainability.
Yes.
So does that look like for you meal prepping, learning how to meal prep? Now, I just get so annoyed with seeing, like, meal prep kind of posts, and I do them sometimes, which is ironic, but meal prep posts where people think that you can only eat, you know, one or two types of meals for the entire week, and that's all you can eat. That, to me, is not sustainable. However, the idea of meal prepping is extremely helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you live a busy lifestyle, you've got kids, you've got work, you know, it's not always easy to do, but it's definitely something that you should do the busier you are. So what we recommend is doing it twice a week. So on a Sunday night and then a Wednesday evening, you cook for the next 3 to 4 days. That way you have it ready to go.
And you're just cooking basics, right? Yeah. So we're talking about a protein, a carb source, vegetables. You're cooking some basics that you could throw together when you run out of time. You know, if you're running in late and you have kids to get to practice and this and that, what can you throw together that you know are going to help you achieve your goals and not throw you off track? Because it is super easy to take the drive-through route.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, sometimes easy. You have to do that if you're in a pinch.
Right. But and then, you know, like we have a real life family. So in a pinch, we have these things too. So if for, I don't know, maybe we're running late, we don't have time to stop back at the house to heat something up before we run to an errand or practice or something like that. So we know the restaurants in our area that we can go to that are going to still align with our goals. And so we have a list of like 4 or 5 different ones. Sean actually made a list of them one time. And what are the items on the menu that are healthy for us and healthy for our daughter?
Yeah, and don't feel guilty if you do have to eat some fast food or your favorite piece of candy every once in a while, because in the big picture, in the big scheme of things, it's the 80% that really makes the difference, not the 20%. So with nutrition, at least. So 80% eat healthy, eat clean. 20% you can have, you know, a little bit of a treat meal here and there. But now if you're preparing for a competition or you're getting ready for something special, an event or something like that.
And you have a deadline.
You have a deadline, then you've got to tighten it up a little bit, maybe 90% healthy or even 95%. So,
or in my case,
100.
110% of the time. But what that really looks like is creating a calorie deficit. And so when clients come to us and they do have a special event, the nutrition component that we're really looking at, we start with food tracking. Super simple, not even making a change. So we're telling our clients for the first week, we meet with the trainer, work out, you know, that kind of thing, or just start your workout program if it's online coaching and just start doing that. And we just want to take a look at what your general lifestyle is. How much are you currently consuming? Because we're not going to cut someone's calories when we don't already know what they're consuming.
Exactly. So that's what makes us different from many fitness companies and personal trainers even, is that a lot of times they just tell you, hey, eat this and eat that and don't eat this and don't eat that, which is okay. But how do you know what the person currently is eating, right? How do you know what their metabolism is currently like? So we got to figure out, what are you eating? What are you currently having for protein, your fats, your carbs? And then we adjust from there. What's the average look like?
Right. And I've had clients that come to me that quote unquote would look overweight. And yet the problem is not they're overeating. Right. So if I thought, and I went with that, you know, well, this person's overweight, so they must be overeating. And I just ran with that. Then I would maybe give them a meal plan for 1200 calories, 1400 calories, depending, right, on the person. Instead, what we want to do is, oftentimes when they're tracking, I'm noticing they're eating under 1,000 calories on a regular basis. Yeah. And I've had many clients that this has happened to. And then I realized that I can't also overfeed them to reach their goal either. So these are small incremental changes. Once we can look at the overall picture of how many calories someone's eating, if we are trying to attain a goal, we can then create a deficit, but also make sure that they're eating the right proportions. So that's when we go into macros, we get a little deeper and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So nutrition is definitely one of the pillars that is going to help you to create a healthy lifestyle and get you to your goal. The specifics on how we would get you to your goal using, you know, nutritional principles is something that we'd be happy to go over at any point if you just visit our website, hustletraining360.com.
So the third pillar of health is hydration. And a lot of people, when I talk about hydration, they either look at me like, oh, I'm doing really well, or it's complete shit. Right? They don't drink any water at all. They just drink coffee or they drink diet sodas and they know they're bad. So if that's you, you've got to take it into consideration that, you know, you can exercise all you want, you can eat healthy all you want, but if you're dehydrated, your body's not going to distribute those nutrients. You're going to have fatigue, you're going to feel all kinds of aches and pains because, you know, your body needs water to operate. Our bodies are 60, 70, something like that percent water. So, you know, make sure that you're drinking enough water. And also sometimes we don't even absorb the water. So you could be drinking a lot of water, but not absorbing it. So what we recommend, if that is the case, is you just take a little pinch of Himalayan salt, and that will help your body absorb the water that you do drink.
Yeah. An unpopular opinion as a trainer, you don't only have to, if you're someone who hates water, because I have many people say, well, I just don't like water. So if you're someone who does not like water, it is not the end of the world. You can drink 0-calorie drinks and still get hydrated, right? And still get fluids and liquids in that are going to count towards that. So drink, you know, buy the low calorie stuff. We have Propel Zero in our fridge. We have Gatorade Zero. We have sparkling ice. We have, you know, an entire fridge full of zero calorie drinks that are going to help us get hydrated on the days that maybe we just don't feel like drinking as much water. There's water infusers I've bought my clients that you can add fruit to, you know, or cucumbers or mint and make it a little bit more enjoyable. And then the second thing that I hear a lot, especially from women, is, well, I don't want to have to pee all the time, or I don't have time to pee all the time. I'm in the car a lot.
Yeah, so that is going to happen, right? Especially if you're acidic. And so that will get better in about 7 to 10 days.
Right, but in the beginning, you're going to have to pee.
You're going to have to pee. So just figure that out. But it's just that important. So you got to have a plan for that. And if you're not sure how much water to drink, there's a lot of different theories on this. And
it's not always a gallon.
Right. It's not always
a gallon. It's not always a gallon.
But the minimum, I would say, is half your body weight in ounces. That's kind of the rule of thumb that I would suggest is the minimum that you should be having every single day.
And again, this is something that you can incrementally work up to. So I always believe it's starting my clients with where they're at and then moving forward from there. So if they tell me, oh, I'm really bad at drinking water, I'm like, well, how bad is bad, right? Because that's relative. They're like, well, I maybe drink a bottle. So I'm like, oh, okay, that is bad. So we're talking about, you know, maybe 16.9 ounces if they're drinking a standard size bottle of water. So I will say, okay, here, we are going to start with laying out if they always drink bottled water or they have, you know, their favorite water jug or something. We're going to start with laying out the bottles of water in the beginning of the day. And you just know that by the end of the day, when they're staring at you, you know you have to finish those. So if they get to the end of the day and they're looking at, you know, two full bottles of water sitting on that counter, well, they're going to have a fun night. But they know that that's something that they're going to work up to. So if you start tracking how much water you're actually drinking and you notice, okay, I'm usually around 60 ounces, no problem, go to 80, you know, and then do that for a week or so. And then go to 100 and see how that feels. And your body will adjust to it and you will adapt to it and it will become easy. But you can take these small steps to do it. And it doesn't have to be a change that goes from black to white, because that will not work.
Again, this is just a habit, right? So it'll take time, but you really need to focus on the hydration if that's one of your weaker areas.
Yeah, and I think that people see, you know, these advertisements and on social media, like what did we see? A magazine cover that was like, I lost 63 pounds in
6 weeks.
In 6 weeks. Yeah. And I was like, wow. Huh? Like, okay. Barring weight loss surgery, when physically you are, you know, doing something to your body that you're not able to eat, that is damn near impossible. So I think, again, setting a realistic timeline, the way that I looked at things, you know, the beginning of my weight loss journey was, the year is going to pass. So I'm looking at a year, you know, from now, and the year is going to pass, right? Because several years passed and I just continued to gain weight. Nothing was changing. No matter, you know, how many times I tried to start new and from the beginning, it didn't work. And it was because I was putting like timelines on myself. Well, I could do this for a month, or if I could just hang in there the first 6 weeks. And when I just went, you know what, I'm just going to do everything that I possibly can and not put a deadline on it, and just understand that it very well could take me a year or two to get the body that I really feel comfortable in, then that's when the pressure was off and I was able to make lifestyle changes that are forever. So, you know, I really encourage you to think about a timeline that is appropriate for you. Don't get caught up in these Instagram photos where you see people lose an extreme amount of weight in a short period of time, or maybe you have a friend that was able to lose a lot of weight in a short period of time and you're comparing yourself, right? Comparison is the thief of joy. So do not do it. Focus on your own journey, focus on the steps you need to take, and you will get there.
Yeah. So leading us into the pillar number four, this is something that's not really talked about much, especially in the fitness industry, as much as it should be at least. And that is stress. And how does stress affect your body, especially if you're trying to lose weight?
Yeah.
You know, so if you have something really stressful going on in your lifetime, which, you know, oftentimes that's a reality, you can't do much about that, right? But the main thing is you have to manage your stress and maintain a lower level of stress for the long period. So if you meditate, if you go take walks, if you've practiced deep breathing, those things will help you regulate your stress, anxiety, all these things that anxiety, depression, those things will affect your weight, believe it
Absolutely.
Or not. You know, even if it's something as simple as overeating because you're stressed out. So, you know, managing your stress could be what's preventing you from losing weight.
Right. And I give myself typically, 48 hours to be sad about something. So if there is something big that happens that I'm really upset about, I give myself 48 hours to sit in it. I'm not someone who can just meditate and bounce back from it. Like, I wish I was that person. I'm working on it, but currently not that person. So I kind of just let myself sit in it for 48 hours. And that very well could be in a dark room with crime shows.
Right.
And I just I deep breathe and think about the things that are stressing me out. And I give myself that grace, which I think we miss out on a lot in life nowadays, is so go, go, go. Give yourself the time to process and then go back to your day-to-day activity. Go back to your life and do the things, do the habits that you're creating or that you have created that are healthy for you. And even if it's just that small amount of time, that 45 minutes, that hour that you're working out, that hour and a half that you're at the gym, whatever it is, it will put you in the mindset of at least that part of my day is normal. And then the rest of the stuff, you know, you can handle when you have to handle. One of the gyms that I joined and I randomly, we just found out, had massage beds.
Yeah.
I was very excited about this fact. And I was I could totally, just say, hey, I need to go to the gym and leave my family at home. And they think I'm going to work out. And I could just lay in the massage bed. And it was like a mom hack. Sometimes meeting your trainer, right? If it's one of our trainers go to community gyms, that kind of thing, right? Meeting your trainer is your time. Going to the gym to a class could be your time, and you have to treat it as a priority, as a stress reliever. Mm-hmm. So instead of it being another thing you have on your plate, you look at it as something to relieve your stress. So then that will help you with your whatever you're going through, and to kind of even out your body.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of personal training clients who have really high paying jobs, and a lot of times that comes with a lot of stress. So that is great that you have a high paying job, but if you're not able to manage that stress over time, you'll pay for it, right? Your body will create disease because your body, what happens when you get stressed is your body creates cortisol from the pancreas, and that will go into the bloodstream, and that creates acidity and all these other issues that, you know, may not show up right away, but over time it does cost you. So even though that's good that you have a great job, still find time to take little breaks, find time to breathe, go for a walk, especially if you work from home, that can be even, you know, more stressful, you know,
yeah. So. And we're seeing things like that. Inflammation is something that I see with clients at an all-time high related to stress. So your body will react to stress, not only by producing cortisol, but also just inflammation in general. So people who are now all of a sudden having, you know, these, they're getting diagnosed with, you know, allergies and that kind of thing. A lot of it is brought on by stress. So your body is becoming sensitive to these things because they're not regulated. When I first started my fitness journey, I remember going to the doctor because I was sure there was something wrong with me. Do you remember this?
I think so.
You think? Okay. So I was going to start my, I had already decided I'm going to kick ass and start working out, and I'm committing to myself this time. And so before I did that, I was let me see if there's anything medically going on, because there's got to be something, you know. And my hair was thinning and changed texture, and which you're totally in your head.
Yes, I remember this. Yeah.
And things were just going wrong. And, you know, I'm in my 30s, right? But people are talking about thyroid issues and things happening. And I was that's got to be it. I've got to have a thyroid problem. My hormones have to be off, and there's got to be something wrong with me physically. And you actually, through rapid weight gain, which my weight gain was over the course of a couple of years, changes your hormones. So you can actually, having a thyroid issue is an imbalance of hormones that is oftentimes a result of the weight that you're gaining. So your weight that you're gaining puts added stressors on your body that then create these imbalances. So you can cure yourself from it also.
Yeah.
And I read a book by Jillian Michaels that talked all about this, because she has a thyroid condition, and looking at her, right, physically, you would never know, but she was able to just manage it through diet and exercise, being at a healthy, manageable weight. So what I did was I went to the doctor, full blood work, the whole thing. And I literally said to the doctor, if I'm just fat, right, which I don't like to use that word, but like I wanted to be as clear as possible. I was like, if I'm just fat, please tell me, because if that's it, I will control it and I know what to do to get myself on track. If there is something wrong with me and I need medication, please tell me that too, whatever it is. And he was like, okay, like he was a very sweet doctor and he refused to even like label me as overweight or obese or anything, which I think is amazing because I think a lot of people go to doctors and they get badgered for their weight, and that was never an experience that I had. But when my blood work came back, I sat down with him and he was like, you're in perfect health. Like inside on paper, like you actually, blood pressure, cholesterol, I mean, all the numbers for every level are perfect. And I was like, okay, so but I knew my body was reacting because I was having these weird things happen. Like I had acne, like weird things were happening to me. And so I knew this was going to be the start of my downfall. And I could see it and I could feel it. And I was like, you know what? If I don't take control now, I'm going to, you know, head into my 40s. And it's going to be a lot more challenging for me to reverse the damage that I've done. So I think overall, the point of that whole narrative is that stress can affect your body in a lot of ways. I think before you jump on medication, definitely, you know, get blood work done before you start any health or fitness program. Right? You want to know, is there something going on with you before you do? But take into consideration, maybe the problems that you're having can be regulated through being at a healthy, manageable weight and, you know, manage it that way versus just starting with medication and then depending on that.
Yeah. So that leads us into the fifth pillar.
The final one. My favorite one.
And this is... this is arguably the most important pillar.
Yes.
Because if you don't have this, then everything else sort of fails. So,
this is probably the number one thing that I struggle with my clients doing on a consistent basis.
Yeah. So the fifth pillar is sleep, and not just sleep, quality of sleep, and how long are you sleeping? So we spend, I believe it's the third of our lifetimes sleeping. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people today don't really prioritize good quality sleep. We're so busy on the go.
Well, I think sleep also, to a lot of people, equals laziness.
Right. So look, there is an argument for that. You don't want to oversleep. But if you're someone who struggles to sleep, you know, 6 to 8 hours a night, or stay asleep for that long, then you really want to look at that. Because if your goal is, whether it's weight loss or building muscle or anything in between, you know, if your sleep is not good, then that's something that you got to start with. Whether that's looking at getting some kind of, medication or something like that, or just not going on your phone, you know, right before bed. Sometimes that keeps people up.
Right. I mean, our online coaching program has an entire section built in
for
improving your quality of sleep. And the reason for that is because we are so concerned with our clients' recovery, because they will hammer down the workouts, no problem, but they're not getting the results they want. And sleep is a big reason for that. Yeah. So there's, I mean, supplements out there that can help you. You don't even have to go the medication route. You can just go with supplementation.
Right. That's what I meant. So yeah. I meant supplements, not medication.
Supplementation that will that's help you sleep. But I think that's a really, really big important part. You actually, when you're exercising, break apart muscle.
Yeah. Yeah. So exactly. When you're in the gym, you're getting weaker. You're actually getting weaker because we can prove that. At the end of the workout, you'll see your body can't do what it did in the beginning. So the way
that last rep, not easy.
So when you go to sleep, that's when your body heals itself. That's when it repairs those tissues. And that's how you get stronger. That's how you actually burn fat, you know? So those are the goals. Those are the five pillars that we stress with all of our clients. And, you know, if you're focusing on not just one, but all of these, you're going to see that you can get to your fitness goal, whatever it may be, and stay there.
Yeah. And if you are plateauing, these pillars are really important to kind of do a checklist, like rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. How am I doing in this area?
Yeah.
How am I doing in this area? And if you see that one of those is, you know, you're at a 3 or lower or even a 4, and you know that that's really your problem, zero in on that and you will break that plateau and you will start to realize you know, that it was something, it was just that little change that you needed to make.
I agree. So let's just to recap, the five pillars of a healthy lifestyle are: number one, exercise. How often are you exercising? And, you know, are you doing it with intensity? Are you doing it with purpose? Or are you just kind of lollygagging? Number two, how good is your nutrition? Are you eating well? Are you eating enough protein? Are you eating too much? Are you eating too little? Number three, hydration. Are you drinking enough water? And are you not drinking enough water? Number four is your stress. Are you maintaining a healthy level of stress throughout your life? And number five is sleep. Are you getting 6 to 8 hours of really good quality sleep?
Now, we have many, many ways to help, you know, improve each one of those areas that we didn't go into detail on today, but we are always, you know, more than willing to help, you know, our clients and our listeners, you know, really improve those things. So feel free to message us at any time. We also have our Lift, Love, Hustle podcast Instagram that you can direct message us if you have any questions or you need suggestions on how to improve these things. You are not helpless. There are real life tactical ways to improve each of these areas that are possible. So we are more than happy to help.
And chances are you already know what to do. So that's why we created the HT360 coaching app. So if you want someone to hold you accountable to achieving each of these five pillars, then check us out at HT360app.com.
We will see you guys next week. It was a pleasure.